Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The ADVFN Podcast with Justin Waite.
Welcome to the ADVFN Podcast, episode 279. On the podcast today, Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications, talks about Mattioli Woods. It's like a mini Hargreaves Lansdown. It's a financial company, does the same kind of products, but it's a smaller company, so you'd think the potential for better growth. Plus, I have the macro news, the broker forecast, and today's suggested 10 bagger stock is Savannah Resort. Ticker code SAV. But first, why the psychology of the average investor is backwards. Now, over the last couple of weeks, week or so, I've been asked a couple of times by people, I wouldn't mind shorting the market. Because when you get a market like this, it's heading downwards, you think, and your stocks are looking at, you know, basically losing money. You think, how can I make money in a market like this? And obviously the thoughts go to shorting the market. Hang on, I can earn money going down as well as up. And you can short the market, yes. And I've only done this once in the capacity of ETF. And I've got a link here on sharepickers.com. You can click to see the top 10 ETF purchases. And they're from iShares, BlackRock, a big, you know, big sort of company there. And it's a cracking products. You can get ETFs for pretty much anything. But I've done it once, like I said, last October when the market was at a high and then sold off, you know, violently. And I made 600 quid. It was a lucky pick, really. I timed it. I couldn't time it better. I couldn't do it again, pretty much. So I was very lucky. And that's the only time I've ever used a short ETF. And it's double leverage. It's times two of the FTSE. So every point you drop, for example, the FTSE, you get times two of that. So if it's a pound per share, for example, you get times two of that. So, you know, it's times two leverage. That's what I mean. But be very careful about this. Because I know the natural thought is to think, this market's going down. My portfolio is losing money. How can I make money in a down market? Let's short the FTSE. But this is not the time to short the FTSE or think about shorting the FTSE. The time to short or think about shorting is when the market's hitting highs. And that's why, to a certain extent, when the market, all the market's about is greed and fear. And when there's fear in the market, everyone starts selling. And that's what pushes the market down. There's contagion about the rumours. I watch, you know, CNBC and Bloomberg, and there's people panicking on this, selling, you know, like it's never happened before, this sell-off, this kind of sell-off. And you think, do you know what? I've lived through quite a few crashes, and they've always rebounded. For example, in April, the market hit its high, you know, the FTSE 100, 7122, I think it was. And this was off the back of 2009. I survived, you know, the financial crash, and a correction in 2011. It comes back, it's fine. And time in the market is the most important thing. But if you want to, you know, earn money in a downward market, wait until it hits a high. Just look at a chart of the FTSE 100. Get yourself a chart of the last 2 years, the FTSE 100, and look. And every time it's hit, I say, a three-month high. Within a couple of months, it's sold off and corrected a little bit. Some corrections bigger than others. But these corrections are needed for the ground to find a lower level. And I love the market because this is what happens. People start selling off, right, because it's been hit so high. The market hit the highs. People have been greedy. And they start getting scared. Everyone starts selling. The market starts going down, 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 down. And then people start saying, hang on, there's a couple of bargains here. And then more people say, hey, there's a few bargains here. Hey. And it gets to a level where, you know, there are lots of bargains to be had. And people start jumping back in. And greed starts taking over. And it shoots back up. And that's the way the market regulates itself. So it has to find a level where, you know, stocks don't look overvalued anymore. They look like bargains. And then people start piling back in. But I just think times like this, if you're a long-term investor, you keep topping up on good stocks, and especially dividend-paying stocks. And I don't mind with dividend-paying stocks, the market goes down there, you know, the yield you get is better. So I'm still scaling into Royal Dutch Shell, have been for a long time. And every sort of 25 pence drop, I buy more. So, for example, if at 18 quid, at 17.75, 17.50, I think that's the lowest I've gone so far, 17.25. No, I think I've taken a chunk at 17.25. I think I may have. I don't know. It's got that low. But it's because they're paying almost like 7% dividend yield now, and that's guaranteed until 2016. And I'm happy to keep tucking those away, you know, for long term. But, like I said, it's, you know, switch psychology. Now, shorting the market when it's high and buying it right now, I'd say right now is time to buy, not just think about shorting. We're not going to be in a global recession. Yeah, China's having problems, but I wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if on Sunday they lower the bank interest rate in China again, trying to stimulate the market, because that's what's going to happen, because they don't want social unrest there, they don't want a hard landing, and they're going to try everything they can to avoid that. So don't go short in the market when on Monday, after big news, the People's Bank of China have done something to stimulate the economy, and markets rally like crazy. All right, so don't short the market when it's been sold off. Buy the market when it's been sold off. Sell it when it's been bought strongly and overbought. Does that make sense? And joining me on the podcast is CEO of Brand Communications, Alan Green. You all right, Al?
I'm good, Justin. How are you, mate?
I'm all right. And what's your thoughts on the global economy? Because, I mean, earlier in the week, Japan GDP stuttered a bit. And obviously, they're about the third largest country or economy in the world. We've got China, worries from China coming out. But part of me thinks, is this a big hard landing for China? And I don't think the authorities there will allow that to happen because they've got too much pressure on them. I think they will stimulate and stimulate as much as they can to stop a hard landing happening. What do you think?
Well, I think they will, but I saw something earlier this week which kind of made me sit up and think. They said that China's tampering with its currency and devaluation of the currency could result in what they call a panda bear economy, one that eats the green shoots of recovery.
Right, I like that. I don't like it. But I mean, I like the analogy, but I mean, I don't like the result.
But it's quite a scary one, isn't it? I mean, that's the thing. You know, you've got China's devalued the currency. It's encouraged the population to invest in stocks by borrowing money to do that, which, as we all know, is a recipe for disaster. And it's proving that case. And I think once the population of China, the young upwardly mobile youngsters start to lose faith in the economy, lose faith in the government, then you know they'll be sort of looking to move elsewhere and try and work, maybe try and leave China, and it'll cause all sorts of problems. And of course, that dreadful explosion at Tianjin, it just illustrates the fact that there's still an awful lot to do in terms of health and safety, in terms of corporate governance and everything else. And we've got a huge burgeoning economy that's growing massively, and it's impacting on other world economies as well. And it is such a worry because the sheer size of China and the sheer momentum and also what it does to for major global conglomerates that rely on China growth to deliver their own growth and to deliver ongoing growth to shareholders is a big problem, because as we're seeing with the FTSE 100, our own FTSE 100, some of the major mining conglomerates that make up that indices are being hit by concerns over China. So as a result, it's dragging the FTSE down, no growth in the FTSE, and that's happening not only in the UK, it's happening in Germany, it's happening in the US, all over the world. So it's a big problem and it's a big worry. And is there a solution? It's really hard to say. The Chinese government have got their work cut out, and they've got their work cut out to retain global confidence as well.
Yeah, I think they should start building more ghost cities. That's all. Just keep building. Doesn't matter if you've got one airport, but build another airport. They got the money. Just keep doing it. Just keep building and building and building, and then knock it all down, start again. I think that's the solution, because they can do that. They can, because that's what they did doing the sort of 2007-2008. They just kept building everywhere, wouldn't they? Mm. I mean, every you know, it's all about China, steel, you know, iron ore, all that. It was all about China. Any company linked, like BHP Billiton, Rio Tinto, it's all about China. So they are the engine of the world economy at the moment. They're driving it. But like I said, the engine is starting to splutter a bit. Let's hope it doesn't stall. Indeed.
But it is all about, you know, part of an ingredient for economic success is ensuring that the population have the confidence in the economy, in the nation, in the industry, and in the government. And that confidence has been severely rocked by the fact that government has encouraged people to borrow money to invest in stocks, and that, you know, as a result they're in debt. That's a big problem that they've got to overcome. Whether they maybe sort of cover the losses or cover investor losses under certain circumstances, that might be a way forward, but they've got to do something.
Yeah. Well, let's ignore the Chinese for a little bit because it's too worrying. Let's go on to a stock of the day. What are you looking at, Al?
Well, we discussed this just back in, it was December the 5th last year. We discussed it during 2014 as well. It's what we call a mini Hargreaves Lansdown, Mattioli Woods. The epic code is MTW. Now, we spoke about this in December and looked at the results and how the chief exec Ian Mattioli said that the momentum was really with the business. They were looking to make acquisitions and grow organically, and the pension changes were benefiting them, all the rest of it. And at that stage, the share price was £4.38. Here we are today at £5.70. So if you bought the stock then, you'd be sitting on a nice little gain. 19th of June, the company raised $18.5 million at £4.90 a share to fund the acquisition of Boyd Coughlin, which is, it's another group of financial advisors. The company at that stage said that trading was in line with expectations. It was going well. Assets under management had risen 17% to $5.4 billion. And as we talk now, just we're in the run-up to the final results, which is due on Wednesday, September the 5th. The company have also announced a new central Leicester office that, with all of the acquisitions they're making, they've decided to build this office in Leicester. It's central to the operational structure. It'll be funded from existing cash and assets. And the company is just going great guns. It's continuing to make acquisitions. It's growing steadily. And, you know, if you put money into this company a couple of years ago, you'd be delighted. You know, it's well on its way to becoming a major player in the financial services industry. And you've got brokers are supportive too. You've got Shore Cap and N1 Singer, both with buy ratings. Mattioli Wood is going places.
Yeah, look, well, the chart, the share price is going places. I'm looking at a five-year chart here, and literally, it crossed the 200-day moving average in 2013. What day was that? January 2014, it crossed the 200-day moving average, hasn't looked back, and it's left that 200-day moving average way beneath it, and it's just climbing higher and higher and higher. I mean, it's not even really, it's had a couple of pullbacks, not a huge sell-off. It's had some consolidation periods, and then up it climbs again. I'm just looking at the forecast earnings, the revenues forecasted to be up consistently next 2 years, and the revenue and the attack and the profit, they're also slowly guiding up a bit of dividend payment as well. So it's almost like, you know, not if you should invest, just when, just trying to time it, you know, because hoping for a bit of a pullback, a bit of consolidation, then jumping in, then that's all it is. They look to be going good guns, don't they?
Well, they really are. I mean, each acquisition they make, clearly they're spending a large amount of their time looking at smaller operations, how they dovetail in, how they fit in, how they can strip the costs out and add to the bottom line, improve profitability, and they've been extremely successful in doing that to date. So really, buy on the dips, but I think with this company, it's there's certainly with the Tory government in place, with a solid economic outlook for the next 5 years, there's really, realistically, very little should change with this company, and it should hopefully be growth all the way. So, I think this is a good one for growth. You're not going to see fireworks with this, but you're going to see steady, solid growth.
Yeah, well, do you know, if you find a dip, buy on the dip. But, I mean, they're very few and far between. It's a strong company. Yeah, Matthew Lewis, code MTW. Cheers, Al.
Cheers, Jess.
Okay, it's time for the micro-macro news. Here's the macro news. Britain's FTSE 100 hit an eight-month low today, set for its biggest weekly loss since December after more weak data from China raised investors' concerns over weak global growth and a possible deflation. Chinese factory activity shrank at its fastest pace in more than 6 years in August, data suggests. The privately compiled PMI, because there's two kinds of PMI, this is Purchasing Managers Index, is the official one from China. This is the one they want you to believe. And then there's a private one, and this is a bit more accurate. Now, their factory activity dropped to 47.1 from 47.8 in July. A figure below 50 indicates contraction. And that's quite a large drop. They were thinking 47.7 expected, but it's dropped to 47.1 from 47.8. The data triggered another sell-off in Chinese shares, which ended the day more than 4% down. That's the index. That's a lot. Where's the FTSE at the moment? As I'm speaking right now, I'm looking at the FTSE 6289. It's down 1.22%. I quite like these sell-offs. I really do. I just think it's time for a bit of excitement in the market. It's only a temporary blip. It'll only be around for a while. Even if it's a bear market, you know, average bear markets last, 18 months. That sounds quite long when I say it like that. But it doesn't go straight down. Stay there for it gradually finds the bottom, then starts clawing its way back up. And that's quite nice. And do you know what? You can earn the most money ever after a bear market. Eurozone business growth unexpectedly accelerated this month as steeper price cutting drove an increase in new orders and led to firms building up bigger backlog of work. The relatively upbeat survey, one of the earliest monthly economic indicators, suggests that the European Central Bank's massive bond buying program and weaker euro may be finally having an impact on growth. Hopefully, it's needed. The UK government spent less last month than it received in taxes and other forms of income, official figures have shown. Government borrowing was a surplus, which is good. £1.3 billion in July, the Office for National Statistics said. That was the first July surplus since 2012, thanks largely to higher amounts of income tax receipts. And here's the micro news. Here's the good news. GlaxoSmithKline has sold all the rights to its ofatumumab drug. There we are. To Novartis for up to $1.03 billion, extending a previous disposal agreement. Hellermann Titan Group reported an increase in interim profit and revenues thanks to a strong performance across most of its markets. They're into cables and wires. So when you sell cables and wires, you can't go wrong. Software Radio Technology has signed a $5 million contract with US Authority. I saw those actually tipped in Investors Chronicle. I think Simon there. Was mentioning them for a while back, and I was reading with interest. Quite like that. So it's a good contract for them. Tritax, Big Box, posted a big jump in first half operating profit as the value of its real estate in investment surged. And here's the bad news. Spire Healthcare. Sorry, I had a couple of biscuits before I came onto air here doing this podcast, and I've got a mouth-watering effect happening. I do apologise, it's not sounding the best. Spire Healthcare swung to a profit after tax. In the first half, revenue grew across the business, but cut its revenue guidance for the year, citing weaker demand from the NHS. Tech Financials has issued a profits warning. Not good. Westminster Group said a prop shafts on its flagship ferry in Sierra Leone was being returned to London for repair. Not good. And Rose Petroleum said it will scale back its drilling plans in Utah due to lower global oil prices. Yeah, a lot of small oil companies are going to have to do that, you know? And I think that's what happens. A lot of these small oil companies start pulling out, and you've got the big majors cutting back on investment. In a couple of years' time, mark my words, you know, save this in your archive somewhere, the oil price will be back above $100 in about 2-3 years' time. Easy. I say that like I know what I'm, you know what I'm talking about. Here's the broker forecast. Here's the upgrades. Liberum Capital has upgraded SIG to buy. Price target 220. SIG, that is. JP Morgan Cazenove has issued coverage of Aldermore Group with an overweight rating. Oh, lose some weight. 325. Here are the downgrades. Liberum Capital has downgraded WH Smith to hold, price target 1625. Berenberg has downgraded Topps Tiles to hold, price target 175. They've also downgraded Oxford Instruments to sell, price target £8. And Berenberg has also downgraded Northgate to sell, price target 455. And today's suggested 10 bagger is suggested by Mike and it's Savannah Resources. What does the company do? Mining exploration. What's the current price and market cap? It's 2 pence, right about there, and 5 million market cap. Name 3 reasons why you think this company is a possible 10 bagger. It has a joint venture agreement with Rio Tinto. Rio Tinto! That has ended into 2 months ago. I did notice that, yeah, and they did spike on that, I think, didn't it? The share price. Let me check out the share price there, sorry, while I'm looking. SAV. Yes, in Savannah. Yeah, it did spike up from about 2 pence up to over four pence, so 5 pence, and it's come back down a bit there. So, anyways, a joint venture with Rio Tinto 2 months ago. After initial share price rise, oh, you've said this. Yeah, I should have read ahead. It has now fallen all the way back to its baseline support level 2 pence. So you're effectively getting the joint venture with the world's second largest mining company thrown in for free. Reason two: 2 months into a 6 month scoping study for evaluating the size of the heavy mineral resource scooping, the joint venture Rio Tinto, with an estimated total resource size available of 7 to 12 billion tons, SAV is looking to cherry pick the best bits and define a resource of at least 200 million tons for the initial mine for early production. And reason three, SAV is also aiming to be a mid-sized copper producer by the end of 2017. Mid-sized copper companies are valued at several hundred million pounds. We currently have a market cap of 5 million. I agree, there's some potential there. And I do like the chart. They're now settling in for that extended level of support around about 2 pence. It'd be interesting to see that when they last raise some money, because sometimes, obviously, smaller companies need to do that. And so it's always nice to get a smaller company off the back of a fundraising, a placing there, because you know then it won't sink too much further down. By the way, if you'd like to suggest a 10-bagger, go to sharepickers.com there and click the link, fill out the survey, it'll take you a couple of minutes, and I could be featuring it in the next podcast. That's it for the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. I do appreciate it. Hopefully you're going to hook up with Pete and Steve for a weekend podcast. And don't forget, please don't buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation here in this podcast. It's only just opinion. Thank you very much for listening. Speak! Hopefully tomorrow.
The ADBFN podcast with Justin Waite.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Did you know that if you are 20 years old now, there's a chance your great-grandparents might have met thanks to computer dating?
Did you know that under their main tongue, lemurs have another tongue?
I did know that because you and I, Andy, and I'm James, are hosts of the podcast No Such Thing as a Fish, a British podcast all about facts.
That's right. We have two other co-hosts, Dan and Anna. Every week we tell you a selection of the most amazing, hilarious, bizarre, wonderful information that you've never heard before. It happens every week and it's called No Such Thing as a Fish.
Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, what's all this about computer dating?